everyone. Tommy Hawk's Blood here. Lots going on. Sorry, I'm just a little bit up. I just got bit attacked by a bunch of fire ants. I'm digging a trench. As you might have heard, Hawaii's supposed to have a hurricane coming near it. How close it gets, we don't know, but it's starting to pour like anything for the past couple hours. So I'm out in the pouring rain digging a trench around the house so the water doesn't flood us out. Lots going on outside in the real world, around everywhere else too. So, you saw my topic for today. I'm sorry I'm not together completely. I was outside. I didn't realize it was so late. But today, I'm going to try to open a chat room. It's not opening right now. Let me see if I can pull it up somewhere else. Hold on. Where is it? I'm not getting my chat room open. I don't know what's going on. So that means I'm not going to be able to answer questions unless you call in. The number is 347-945-7207. All right. Please call in. Questions, answers, whatever. All right. The word that I want to start with is spiritual. We've been abusing it and using it so much, people accept it as like a reality. I don't know what kind of reality spiritual means to most people, but I look at it from my view, from the way I perceive life. What's happening on the planet today? What is really going on? Hello?
Oh.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Oh, hi. Yeah, I'm just listening to the show. That's all.
Oh, you're just going to hang out in the background?
Yeah, why?
Well, if you got a question, you can ask me.
Okay, sure. I might double. Yeah, I'll ask a question.
No problem. I'll leave you right where you are. So, just
okay.
Remember, I can hear you, okay?
Sure,
so,
okay.
We got into a lot of topics on Sunday. I didn't get halfway through what I wanted to get through. So if anybody was tuned in Sunday, we're going to be following part two of that. So there's a lot that I didn't cover, so I'm going to try to get into all that as well, because I feel we have so much to get into. I want to talk about spiritual first, spirituality, what it means to religions, what it means to quote so-called spiritual people and religious people and any other kind of people, even atheists and everybody else that's in the mix with everybody. Now, let's start with, there's over 2,000 religions, and I'm sure most people don't know any other than the one that they studied. Maybe just a little bit about the opposite. I mean, when I was Protestant, when I was little, we knew a lot about Catholics because everybody I knew was Catholic. So, and then my neighborhood became Spanish, and Jewish people started moving out. So it was what I learned when I was little about religions, which wasn't much. I went to church until I was 14, baptized a Protestant. But at 14 in my church, when I was being baptized, I was allowed. I went to confirmation, as well. And I was allowed to ask the minister a couple questions, which was a great thing. So I had my great privilege of going to my minister and asking him three questions. He couldn't answer them. I mean, like, what was God? What's God look like? What do you do in heaven? And he said, nobody knows them. So I told myself right then and there, here's a religion that nobody knows what's really going to happen in the end. What heaven looked like, what you're going to do when you get there. Well, we have so many things going on this planet, and we're all claiming to be spiritual. I don't, but many people do. So, if you start exploring religions, which I did, I went through about 14 religions after I turned 14 and decided I no longer wanted to be a Protestant. I went into witchcraft. I studied that for years. I learned a lot. I mean, people assume everything's bad or everything's good. If it's something they like, it's good. If it's something they don't like, it's bad. When we talk about witchcraft, black magic, white magic, Okian, Keokian magic, I'm sure most people don't even know what that means, but it's probably the most powerful magic that people used to use. Even Notre Dame had books that were covered with human skin and stuff like that. And then near the end, he had to burn all his books, otherwise he would have been killed right away. So, magic, good or bad, call it what you want. There's stage magic, which I did for half of my life as well, which is a lot different because that's making people believe and see something that's not real. But is that important? Thank you for that. The audio is good. Okay. But when I started dealing with religions, I found one common thing: the lack of knowledge. Great stories. And all we hear over and over again is story after story after story. And why is that? Because people want to believe good things. I mean, it's not a bad thing to want to believe in good things. But I say I'm a realist, meaning I'm as real as it gets. I live within the truth of what's real. Not the truth that I want to be real, not the truth that some people say is real, but what I can perceive, what I can experience, and what I see other people experiencing. And just because one person experiences doesn't mean it's good for the whole world, or even a big percentage of the world. We have our own individual experiences in our lifetime, and they're to help us grow, not the world grow. So, I mean, a lot of people say they can't tell their experience. Most of them you can. I'm sure once in a while there's an experience you can't, because if it has to do with power and things like that, then you got to be cautious that you don't give that kind of information to the wrong kind of people. So, but as far as magic goes, I mentioned on Sunday about the psychic abilities, and the list is up there. Just type 32 psychic abilities, it'll pull them up. I'm bad with words. And I went through them, but even at the time when I went through them, they didn't have these specific names. Now, there's over like 130 names they use for psychic abilities. You could sneeze and they'll say that's a certain ability. You throw toothpicks on the ground, that's a certain ability. You throw marbles on the ground, throw leaves on the ground. Everything's a psychic ability in the narrow word of psychic words that they use. And they give it a name. Being able to read smoke, being able to read drops. So it's the real abilities they don't talk about much because very few people even know what they are or understand them. I got the chat room opening. I think it's going to open, so I'll let you know in 2 seconds. So we each are here for ourselves, no matter what people say, no matter what people think. All right, I got the chat room open. Anybody wants to put a question in there? So let me just shrink it down as much as I can. All right. Sorry about this. All right, the chat room's working. I can get questions in there as well. All right. I lost my chat, my main page now. Hold on. This ain't good. Oh, here it is. All right. I'm going to have to go back and forth, which is kind of weird, but... I got thrown out of both. I don't know if you can still hear me. All right, they get the studio back. That's one thing. All right. Sorry about all this. It's my fault. I was out in the pouring rain trying to dig a trench around the house, and I got bit while I'm playing in the weeds, pulling them out and digging a trench. I got bit about 30 times by fire ants. and they are a pain. One of the little things that Hawaii has that they're having a problem with. So, as when I was saying I went through religions, and they all have something in common. Let me close the window. I'm getting a lot of noise from the pouring rain. Well, it's not supposed to hit till tonight, but that storm is humongous, and it's at a level 5 right now. Anything could happen over the next couple hours, or getting a lot worse. So, when I was going through these religions, the thing that was in common with all of them, they have little knowledge. Knowledge about God. Knowledge about death. Knowledge about soul. Wouldn't you assume they're the most three important parts of any religion? I would. And I don't understand it if you don't believe that. Here's where we're going to go. We're going to go the spiritual way, we're going to go the non-religious way, and the true way. If you're a non-believer, you don't have to have morals, you don't have to have faith. You do what you want. You do what feels good. And that becomes your reality. You're not responsible to anybody. All right. We each grow at a different speed, different level, and I'm talking about way different level. Because when we say, oh, well, we read the Bible. Even if you read the Bible or read the Emerald Tablets, the Sumerian Tablets, and that's your truth. It's words. And if you take the words that we knew in Atlantis, you take the words we knew in Lemuria, yeah, storms are scary. But when they happen, okay, we're in modern times, we're in this system where we think we learned, we grew, which is my problem. And this is, I hope you understand this. I don't like to be the bad person, the person that's telling the truth. But I just listened to a couple of different things yesterday, and they were saying, well, people shy away from the truth. No, they don't want the truth. The truth doesn't ever feel perfect and comfortable. And if it doesn't feel comfortable, people don't want to hear it. Because in the weightlifting world, it says no pain, no gain, which is true. You're not going to put on muscle mass if you don't push your muscles harder each time. Spiritual growth is very much the same. I hate to admit that. But the problem is to grow. You need something to grow in. If you're going to grow wider and bigger, you need a better support system. You're not going to grow into this giant tree in a little coffee pot or teapot or something even that size. Everything has to grow. Your awareness, your thinking, your ability to function and relate to those things as well. So when we talk about growing spiritually, it's a lot different than growing if you're an atheist. Because they assume life is what it is. You start, you're born, you got 100 years roughly to do, create, be, and become anything and everything you can and want to. And then and after that, the game's over. Now, if you want that belief system or accept that, that is a problem. All right? Because when you die, you're not really going to die. But at that point, you don't know what to do or what's going to happen. And because of that, you're thrown around like a leaf in a tornado. There's no direction, no protection, nothing. So is it easier to learn now? Yes. Is it easier to listen to everybody? No. The more people you listen to, sure, you'll get a wider view of things. but all those things don't fit into a connection of an important place, what good are they? They're no good. All right. So when we're growing as this person without a religion, without a belief, you do things in the spur of the moment. You don't have to contemplate whether it's good or bad. Well, you either like it or you don't like, well, I'm going to do this anyway. That kind of attitude. Well, people get through life. And I mean, they get born, go through middle age, and go through old age and die. Without ever putting one step in front of them. Now, we can take that path. Anybody can. Is it exciting? Well, you can make it as exciting as you want. But I go into my morals, which are, I mean, the classic ones is lust, greed, anger, vanity, and attachment. And I break them down into sex, drugs, drinking, occluding, risking your life for cheap thrills. Sure, love fits in there at the very end, because I don't think people have this vast idea of what love means. And some people can say they love a rock, a tree, and any person they meet. Hold on one second. Yeah, without any real feelings behind it. It's just a word. And words are just words. Your actions are quite important. So how do we adjust that? Well, if you don't have the faith and don't learn about things, you can't change it. You're going to live life. Oh, I got a good job. Oh, that job pays. Well, I'm going to take that job. I don't care who it hurts. I want to move up the ladder. I don't care who I have to step on to get up to the top of the ladder where I can make the most money. So, you know, without morals, which is kind of like the first thing before you become a spiritual person, you don't get anywhere on the physical plane spiritually. So when I say there's very few spiritual people on the planet, and I don't claim to be one of them, there's very few, period. I didn't say I didn't meet one, sorry. I meant good people. Good people don't become spiritual people. If you pick up an ant, he's a good ant. He does his work, he takes care of the mountain, moves the rocks around, protects the queen. He's a good ant. But does that make him spiritual? You're a house builder in the physical world. You build houses. You're putting people in homes. You're helping them and stuff. Does that make you a spiritual person? No. You cut down trees and you mill them and you make them into wood and you do things like that. Are you a good person? Well, I'm making wood so people can build houses. Well, how many houses do we need, which we never have enough of? How much wood do we need? We never have enough. How many trees do we have that we got to keep cutting down? The rainforest is a disaster. And I know that's deteriorating. And if that changes, that changes the weather on the planet as well as many other things that are happening. So when we listen to speakers, which I always bring back and forth because people love to listen to people speak if they like what they're saying. I know me, if they don't like it, they just shut the show down. I would leave it. But if you pay to go to a conference and you pay to go in a conference, well, you're going to probably sit and listen to the hour and a half or whatever it is of this person talking. You might agree with some of the things and stuff, but if he makes you feel good, you're going to like what he says even more. Telling jokes, that takes the edge off of things. Well, you know, people that are like that never really learn much because they're just looking for that smile and a little bit of happiness and good feelings. And then they want to know that aliens are coming down to eat them. But in between that, hold on again. Sorry, I'm sneezing. I walked in a store today. They had the air conditioner on and I lost my voice. I hope I don't lose it now. I got a question. Somebody asked about... Let me see if I can read it again. Hold on. Well, something about weight, you know, when you have this extra baggage on your body. I'm not sure if that's what you actually meant. I'm just pulling it up again. I got three questions, so let me just see. Well, how do you feel this weight on you when you meditate? Is it like somebody standing on your back? Just heavy pressure pushing against your whole body? Because I explained it once for myself. A weight on you means something's working with you, good or bad. And as we go through this, you're going to try to relate to that. If you're sitting down in a meditation position, and suddenly you feel weight on you, something's there. Now, what are you focusing on? What is your next step in your meditation? Well, that's going to be important, because when I had my first out-of-body experience, which I wasn't aware of, wasn't prepared, didn't even know what it was in a direct situation like that, somebody started pushing on the back of my head, and I was fighting it. But here's what I did. I was fighting so hard, when I kind of like just made a twitch, it let go. And then I kind of burst out of the pressure. And then I was standing outside my body. So it could be a really good sign. It could be a really important sign for you. So I ask you to work with that. Keep focused. Keep your meditation guided and directed and protected. All those things. We'll get back into that later. A ton of pounds, that's a lot of weight. You didn't get squished. Well, change the environment, change how you're doing your meditation, change the music. I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but if you're saying there's a ton on you, that's causing you a lot of pain and everything else, so it's not right. I mean, there's a specific point when spirit will push on you and make you do things, and then when you cross over that, you go into the pain, suffering, and all those other words. Through spirit, I mean, not your normal karma, not what's given to you by this reality, but what you're adding on to it. So, I hope that helps you a little. We can talk about it later. Focus on leaving the body. But no, focus on meeting somebody, your guide, your angel. Leaving your body is not going to be just the answer. You'll be standing there by yourself, and then you still won't know what to do. Picture a doorway. Just picture the doorway, and then when you get the doorway in your image, then you step through the doorway. Even if it's a ball of light, and you can't create a door, foundation of a real door, just walk through that light. But then you know that there's going to be somebody, something on the other side that's waiting for you. All right, that's what you need to do constantly when you do your meditation. Just say, I want to get out of my body. I want to go see God. There's a lot of steps before that. And you need to learn them all, the protection while you're in there, when you do the meditation. Protection from the pain, whatever pressure's on you. Where's it coming from? What is it? If you can learn what that is and things, all that's going to help you. See, when you do things for yourself, meditation's one of them, you learn more about yourself and yourself as a soul. Going to work, building, playing, drinking, all those things don't help that at all. So when we move forward in this game of life, call it what you will, we each open a doorway. What I'm saying, you create the doorway, and then you open it and go through it. But you need to be aware of what's going to be on the other side and allow what you want to be on the other side. Your guide, and we all have guides, angels, whatever words that fit your reality, they're there waiting for you to work with you. They chose to do that as their next step in their unfoldment. Everything keeps moving forward, especially after you leave the physical world. you grow faster and greater. Except on the astral plane. The astral plane is just so much better than the physical plane. People slowly forget that they can move past that as well. Which you need to do. And that's why it's easier to learn to go past the astral plane now than when you get there. Because if you're looking for the point when I say, oh, I don't have to eat if I don't want to. I could eat anything I want, all the time I want, do whatever I want. Move around, fly around, jump around, whatever. Suddenly it's like kindergarten with every toy that you wanted to play with. But that's where you are. You're starting all over again. Different level, but you're starting all over. You don't have the tools you need. And the other thing is, I already mentioned it Sunday, that we pick the age that we want when we get into the astral plane. I mean, babies leave their bodies. Do you think they go into another realm as a baby and walk around, crawling around, or just rolling on the floor? They go back to their idea of a body, which is an older body. So they can perceive and think. It's the mind that limits us always. Keeps us in this reality and what we believe, do, and think. It's not important. And I hate to say that over and over, but they're like, oh, this is the most important. Well, because this is where we are and this is where we think we are. This is where we think we have to stay. Well, we have to stay here for a certain period of time. And I guess it was Billy Joel that did the song, Only the Good Die Young. Well, it's true in one way. If you worked all your karma and you're 20 years old, there's no sense to be here unless you're into the pleasure. And then you're not as spiritual as you thought you were. Too many people, I should say most people, compare pleasure and good feelings to spiritual, loving, compassionate beings. How could you feel good? Now, let's dive into this. I'm tired of people saying it or believing it and talking about it. First off, let me do this tear down, the idea of a speaker. Most speakers, 99% of them, have this mindset that they're going to make you believe and accept. And most people do. The names of the people, the greatest speakers out there, all of them. I'll say the top four or three, whatever. The Dalai Lama, the Pope. Then we have Eckhart Tolle, Deepak Chopra, and those other speakers that are more into New Age, being everything you can, making the most money you can, and all those kind of things. Well, it's time to let go of that. Money will never get the human race to move forward. Look at what Trump's doing to the world. It's all going to crash. Everything's going to crash. Our environment, our weather, our lifestyle, our the way we eat, it's all going to crash. Why? Because of money. Now, countries need money, want money. But you know, the United States is more the desire of like having money in the bank. All the rich people, I would say, what would you say, 99% of their money's in the bank? Maybe 25, 50% of their money's invested? How much money is in their hand? How much money do they spend? Well, it's like a hoarder. Let's just keep stocking up. And more people with lots of money only look for ways to make more money. Look at the Shark Tank. Which is exactly what it's called, the Shark Tank. Why? They got money. Do they need more money? No, they want to help people make money, but they want to make more money themselves. They don't invest in a person because they're helping that person. They're investing in that person because that person's going to make them money. Big separation from being spiritual and being an egotistical mind. People don't see it. I mean, it's hard to get out of that environment when 90% of the planet is into this money thing. The people that are out there working and things. because 90% of the planet is starving, homeless, don't have their next meal coming, and stuff like that. So, right now, without all the things that happened, California has like 9,000 homeless vets, 12,000 homeless people, no jobs, no homes. All right? Now, let's take a place like the Philippines or these other countries that are having these giant earthquakes and giant disasters right now. You know how many millions of people are starving, homeless, because of that within the past month? Relocated, have no place to go, and it could happen to Hawaii. We're going to be having a lot of people evacuated if the lava got any worse than what it was doing. Luckily, it stopped. Anybody that's asking, it stopped about 7 days ago, roughly a week almost already, which is a good thing for certain things. So, as a group of consciousness, and we talk about what we can have. Soul doesn't need anything. First downfall for anything you say to yourself. Does it need friends? Does it need a relationship? Does it need family? Does it need a pet? Does it need to stay here? All those questions are programmed by the mind. But since it's not aware of who and what it really is yet, it has to go through the battling between all that to find the truth. How do you do that? Meditation. The right kind of meditation. Prayer? No. You can pray if you want to. I call it talking to God, but you know, have to realize God doesn't have to listen to you either. And God's definitely not going to give what you ask for. Because things happen doesn't mean God gave them to you either. If somebody's sick, there's a chance that they'll get better and there's a chance that they'll die. Because they got better, God said so. If they died, well, God didn't listen. See, you can't compare things like that to what you want to put on God. We put so many things on God. We don't look at or take responsibility for all the things we're creating while this is all going on. So this person that's not in a religion walks around. Well, I can beat that person up because he's a bad person. Or I can beat that person up because I want to. I could try to marry this girl if she lets him. So it's a game for them. A game of life. It's just like playing the board game. It ends. You go around, the game ends. What do you have if you play the game of life? Nothing. All you can say is I either won or I lost the game. And when you win a board game, it doesn't help you any further than walking away from the board game. In life, it's not much different. Get a house, get a car, have a family, have kids. And you come home and you decide to shoot them all. This horrible story with this, I don't even get into it, but we need to go beyond that. We got to rise above it. We got to think what can help people rise above that. Well, keeping a majority of people in poverty is not the answer. Allowing drugs, the wrong kind of drugs, to be pushed on people is wrong. But worse than drugs, the worst drug on the planet is not heroin, not ice, and not crack, not opium. It starts with a four-letter word, B-E-E-R. Then it goes to wine. Then it goes to hardcore alcohol. All legal. There's a downfall there. And why is it legal? Only because it makes money. Now, I got into some little teeny bit last week, but the cigarette business was finally taken off the TV, and it's not allowed to have their commercials on TV anymore. Why? Because the industry is dying because too many people are aware of the dangers of what it does. And they have to say that now. Just drink and say, you can go out and kill somebody today. I mean, when you pick up a medicine, well, this could give you cancer. This could give you a heart attack. This could give you a stroke. This could cause blood clot. It could cause your blood to clog. It goes on about 100 different things. And people still take it, right? Why is that? And then the medicine, pain medicine, kills people? Well, something people don't understand, especially without pain. When you're in that kind of pain, real pain, you don't want to live no more. You don't want to do anything. You can't. I know what it's all about. I know people around me. It's horrible. So now realize, when you don't eat for a couple of days and you eat very little, how do you feel? Happy? Joyful? So we each pick the shovel we're going to use to dig our hole in. You can dig it as deep as you want or as shallow as you want. But you're going to still fall in that hole when you leave. So, are you going to spend your life digging a hole? Some people do. Well, I don't have to worry. I'm not going anywhere anyway. Well, you're going in a hole that you dug. I'm hardcore. I'm real. I don't tell you stories. I don't fantasize. I don't make you believe things that aren't really going to help you. If I tell you a dragon's real, it's real, but it's still not going to help you. If I tell you the little people are real, is that going to help you? There's all these things that we can talk about. I started going into them. Will they help you? What things can help you move forward? What I suggest and say is the most important thing is your guides. Because they're going to be the ones that help you explore the next reality that you're going to go into. Remote viewing. Astral projection is the wrong word for what people do. If you're doing astral projection, means you're projecting into the astral world. And it should be more refined to the physical world, because most people cannot project themselves into the astral world. And if they do, they could become a little more aware of what they are as soul. But again, without guidance. Soul learns eventually, but not right away. Not in one lifetime, not in 100. And then when it does, then it can leave. I mean, a bird has to grow, a baby bird, a chick has to grow its wings before it can jump out of the nest. When the chicks jump out of the nest when they're little, they die. They get smacked on the ground. So when you try to fly without your wings or your feathers, you're not going to get nowhere, and it's not beneficial to you to do it. So saying I'm going to go to the astral plane is useless. If you don't know what soul is, if you don't have guides around you, what are you going to do? Stare at things? Do you know what you can do, what you can't do? Every body, meaning the bodies that we take, the physical body, astral body, mind body, soul body, etheric body, all the words we give it, have laws and rules and regulations. If you're a light beam, do you think you have to wear a pair of pants and a shirt? If you're a light beam, do you think you have to eat a potato and a steak? The rules change. Do you think you have to go to the bathroom? I want to get you a little bit frustrated, but for me, the human body is disgusting. I mean, the way it looks, a female body is beautiful in my viewpoint. In all the animal kingdom, it's the opposite. All the male bodies are beautiful and the female is not. I mean, a fish, a bird, they have no color. The lions have no mane. Peacocks don't. The females are just bigger and no beautiful feathers. All the things are different. But in man's reality, and most men will say women are more beautiful unless they're a weightlifter and into their body. And then they think that they're more prettier than anybody. So, but that kind of sounds weird, but I'll say this. The body's disgusting, what it does. Soul eliminates that when it leaves this body. So that's just that alone makes it a purified, more purified entity, reality, creature, whatever, however you perceive things that you're not aware of yet. But the body, the astral body, we'll use that word for now, isn't the same. It doesn't have this food stored up in its belly and things like that. When you eat, it's not, you're not really eating anything. You can feel and taste and you're going through the motions, but it's not solid. This is the most solid place, solid within its vibration. It's, well, we're learning all about that. Well, you can play with that, but that's only real in the astral and the physical world. Science will never, ever get beyond that. Playing with protons, neutrons, and electrons only work in the physical and astral plane. It doesn't go into the mental plane. It doesn't go into the astral, the etheric plane, fourth plane. And it sure doesn't go into the fifth plane. Now, if each soul... But you see, now here's where science tries to mix it together. If each soul was aware of itself, would it need any other souls? Would it have to be part of all the other souls? In this system, they are kind of relating to each other. I mean, we each affect each other, what we create and what we do. But soul doesn't have to do that. And it doesn't. But when it's in the body, the mind tells it what it has to do. Sorry, I didn't do one thing. Hold on, give me one second here. Well, all right. Here's where we're going to go. We're talking about these people with no awareness of spirit, soul, death. Let's move into the religious one. You're born, mother's Catholic, Protestant, Jewish, Jehovah, whatever. And obviously they're going to raise you what they believe in. I mean, if they're a Catholic, they're a Jewish person, they're a Protestant, whatever. They're not going to send you to a witchcraft school. Hopefully not. But it's programming. Well, this is good. This is right. This is what's right for you. Oh, man, it's pouring so hard. I don't think I'm going to do a long show because I'm really worried about my house being flooded away. And I got to keep an eye on the trenches that the water's going in the right direction. I'm really sorry about that. I'm glad I at least got here. I didn't know if we were going to have any power today, which could go out any second. But let me just try to, okay, let's stay with the spiritual, the religious person. I hope you can hear me because I could barely hear myself. We have a metal roof, but there's a space in between, but it's still super noisy. So, a religious person's programmed by their mother and father, and not always the mother and father follow the same path. One follows a path, one probably doesn't follow it that much. So, hopefully when it has a path, it's trying to teach your child something. And now you get programmed in a religion that's pretty locked into what they want you to believe. Not what's right, not what's true, not what's important, but what they believe is right for you to know and follow and believe in. Prayer, praying, the Lord's Prayer, all those things. Talking to God is much better or more real than praying to God. Spirit listens to the ones that it needs to hear. And then it goes up into the higher realms. But very few people say anything important where it needs to go up that high. What's the average person, what's anybody talk about that God needs to hear?
Well, I'm going to start a new religion.
Think God needs to hear that? Religions like Hare Krishna, the Jehovah's Witness, are pretty dead set in their truth. What they truly believe. And I love to get into debates with them all the time. When I lived in California, we had the Hare Krishna everywhere, and we had the Jehovah Witness everywhere. Jehovah Witness would always be coming to the house. Hold on one second. Hello. I'm going to have to end the show. I'm really sorry. The person next door is cutting the trees out. And it could fall on my roof. We had a tree fall on my house last month, I think you heard. And I had it took me 3 weeks to fix my roof, and it's pouring rain, and if I get any damage to my roof, we're going to be in serious trouble. I'm so sorry if you're here. Thank you for listening. I'll make this show up sooner or later, more so like maybe tomorrow or depending on if we're still here. But let me do what I got to do. I'm so sorry. Call in. My email is hawksblood1@aol.com anytime. Feel free. Sorry to leave at such a speed, but it's pouring and he's out there cutting trees next to my house. Love and light, everybody. We'll talk.